Lord Jesus, we celebrate your life. God, because we also celebrate your death. We ask you, please, that we would see what you'd have us to see, and that I would say what you'd have me to say. God, please change our hearts, that even now, those that are hungry for your word, that don't even know it, those that have been fighting, they've been fighting against the love of your spirit, and the world has permeated them, God, even now, please soften their heart to receive your word. Make salvations happen even now, God. Baptize us, Holy Spirit, for a good word in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Okay, the title of today's message is Reaction to the Baby. Reaction to the Baby. We're going to look at people's reaction to the baby Jesus. I think that the telling sign of all the different reactions in Scripture is also like a prophetic word to our own hearts. As I go through these, some of you guys that might have never been to church, some of you guys that might have been to church and it's been a while, some of you guys that, I think you're going to maybe see your own reaction in here. And what could be your reaction? And at the end of the whole thing, I'm going to ask you, I'll kind of make it anticlimactic. I'm going to say, so what's your reaction to the baby? Because we were talking the last couple weeks about it. I love this time of the year, and I don't think I ever did except for the last few years. It used to be so stressful because the kids always wanted gifts and presents, and the wife always, the bar is set really high with my wife because I can never get her what she deserves. And everything I've ever gotten is like, I'm not one of those people that can buy things, like thoughtful things. My wife bought something for Austin that was so stinking thoughtful. My son bought something for Andrew. I was like, man, why can't I do that? I just want to go to Costco and like buy something for everybody, The wife, they've got chocolate-covered almonds, perfect, My son, there's a Sawzall, that'll work. Can I get it all? But the last few years, I don't know if it's the same way for, anybody who's been married 31 years, but it's like me and my wife coming, you don't buy me nothing, I won't buy you nothing. Whew. Deal. Been waiting for that. Now, just as a secret, ladies, just hold your ears for a second. It's a trick. Guys, buy something anyway. Don't you dare not get that woman something. Let her say to you, oh, but you promised. Don't worry about if she gets you nothing or not. Just don't. It's a lie. But either way, okay, ladies. There's something different about this time of the year. It's like I said, I live in Home Depot most of the time. When my wife's mad at me, that's where I go just wander around. And they're playing Christmas music. I mean, it's like, we went to the Bahamas some years ago, in Jamaica, and Grand Cayman we went to also. And where else did we go? Where was that other Bahamian island? Haiti we were in. And it's like Christmas music there is like no problem, man. Signs, crosses. It's like America has turned into like this crazy, things are like in reverse. Here, you put up a sign, Jesus, outside your house, man, the condo commandos want you to take it down. It's offensive to somebody. I don't get it. But over there, they don't care, man. It's Jesus music playing up in public places and... But the last few years, it's nice. Driving in the car, somebody just does some stupid thing. It's like, yeah, it's cool, it's Christmas. I didn't even see you here. Hi. Welcome back, sister. It's one of our missionaries back from Germany. You shine like the sun, girl. I pray that anybody that doesn't have that, anybody that doesn't know that feeling, that unknown knowledge of why things just feel good, I'm sorry that that ain't for you. I really am. And maybe you'll see it why in here. Luke chapter 1, if you're there, skip all the way down to verse 38, please. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So the first reaction to the baby is the Holy Spirit appears. An angel appears, and says, "Mary, I know according to Bible scholars, Mary's only 14, maybe 15 years old at the time. And some angel appears and said, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to impregnate you with a baby. You're going to have a baby." And she trips. She's like, "Excuse me? I don't know no man." I'm sure she did the same. Ladies, honestly, some angel comes to you and says, "You're going to be pregnant." You're like, "I ain't got no man." Her reaction was the reaction that almost nobody gives. This woman was amazing. I don't mean to be a little Catholic in here today, but wow, what a woman. Mary, listen, let me tell you what she was looking at for her now, okay? Here's a 15-year-old unmarried girl who's about to be pregnant. You know what that means? She's about to become an outcast. She could actually, if they wanted to, stone her for premarital sex or prostitution. They could have easily killed her. This woman knew what she was looking at. And you know what she said, according to the King James? "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done as you wish. My life is not mine, it's yours. Do what you want." Wow. What a reaction. The first time that you come across the Lord Jesus, and your reaction is, "No problem." I got saved in my old neighborhood. It was about 1988. Had a little problem with some brothers. So after my trip to the hospital, I went to the Catholic church, and I was on my hands and knees in front of this statue, and these guys were, after the initial encounter, promised me that I had a week to live, unless I did some things that there was no chance I was going to do. So I looked up at the statue, and I don't know, it was St. Helen or something like that, because that was the name of the church, and I said, "God, if you get me out of this alive, I'll never break the law again. I swear I'll live right." That was my first encounter with the baby Jesus. It wasn't to be so. I didn't say, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Yeah, I went about my life after that. I lived. I survived. I moved down to Florida. Got away from those guys. Eventually, they forgot about me. Eventually, I forgot about my promise. Continuing down, Luke in 1:41. Go up to 39. "Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" Here's this pregnant lady, and her first encounter with the baby Jesus was, "Praise God, what grows in me is a miracle." We in our line of work, so to speak, we encounter pregnant women all the time. Those that are blessed to have a husband or a boyfriend who stick around, we rejoice for that. But sad to say, the vast majority of the women that we encounter that are pregnant are women who are considering abortion because it was either through a bad choice, a night of passion, a moment of weakness, a foolish decision, and now they want to take that foolish decision and do something bad with it. And they come here and they go, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even know what I'm doing here. And we say, it don't matter what got you here, we will take care of you. We will help you, whatever needs to be done, we will make sure you make this good choice. You have this child and you want to keep the child, we'll help you. You don't want the child, we will give it to a family who wants to adopt it, as we've done a dozen times. How many families here, if a sister came to this church and says, listen, I'm pregnant, I can't do this, I want to have this baby, but I'm going to give it up for adoption. Watch this, guys. How many families would take it immediately? Matter of fact, Jeremy and Nicole said they'd take two babies. They said they would take three. So what's your reaction, sister? Do you look at the child that grows in your womb as a blessing or a curse? Because far too many women look at that child as a curse. And let me tell you something, just so you know. That is what God calls the turnaround. When your terrible decision, when your foolish moment, when your dumb boyfriend, whatever it is, and God says this in his Bible, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Period. So the world will tell you, just get an abortion. Even some sectors of people well-intended in the church would tell you, you made a mistake. It is not a punishment, it is a blessing. It's not a curse, it's a blessing. Even if you're drug-addled, infested, even if you've done terrible and stupid things, if you are pregnant, it's because God looked down and said, I want to reward you because I love you. Why would God reward me if I made such dumb choices? Because he loves you. That doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't make sense. God's love doesn't make sense. God's love just is. The reward of his love for some is the fruit of the womb. You pregnant sisters here, reward, because he loves you. Do nothing foolish on top of foolish. Just enjoy and let your baby leap for joy at the sound of his word. Let your baby leap for joy. And recognize with every movement. I remember talking to my baby all the time. All of them. If you go to Luke chapter 2, the very next chapter. Chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, speaking of Mary and the baby Jesus, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, you know that, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The first encounter by the people at the Hotel Jerusalem, let's call it, was, sorry, just business, not personal, we got no room. But this woman just had a baby. I mean, this baby's a day old. What? Just business. It ain't personal. We got no room. Some people's first encounter of Jesus. And I got business. I got business to run. I got no time for this. I can't add another thing to my life. You want me to come to church on Wednesday? You want me to come to church on Sunday? I got no time. It's just business. I got nothing against him. Listen, to me, it's great. I grew up Catholic, you know, whatever. I got no time. It's just business, not personal, just business. I got no room right now in my life for this. I got things going the way I want them going, finally. Jerusalem is packed with people. I can sell these rooms twice as much. You all can't afford it? Go stay in a barn or something. I don't know what to tell you. Some of us got no room. We're just too busy. And it ain't personal. It's not like we hate Jesus. We just got no room. Just too busy. Continuing down to verse 15 of the same chapter. So it was when the angels had gone away, in verse 15, from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Listen, let me explain to you what a shepherd was. A shepherd back in the day was basically a homeless person who you let stay in your field. Yeah, let him stay in the field. Hey, listen, if you're going to stay there, I'll give you some food, but just make sure, don't scare the sheep and scare away the wolves or the bears if they come, because you're significantly less important than them. These were the nobodies. These were the homeless. These were the beggars. And you know what they did when they heard about Jesus? They sought him out. And I find that so amazing. If you've ever fed the poor, if you never have, shame on you. If you've ever fed the poor, you go down to Fort Lauderdale, under the bridge over there by 95 and Broward, and you bring them food and you ask them if you could pray for them. Hey, can I pray for you? Pray for me. Now, you would think, because the world tells you that the rich people would believe in God and the poor people wouldn't, because one's lucky and one's not lucky. One got their break and the other didn't. And yet it's so opposite. The Bible says this, that the ransom of a man's life is his riches. The more money you have, the less you need God. And the vast majority of them, not all of them, I'm generalizing, of course, don't have no time for God. It's just business. But them homeless, drug-infested, crackheads, whores, man, they believe more in God than you ever could imagine. Then you think to yourself, well, why does God let that happen to them? You know? We're the only ones that think that way, because those people know that they made their own decisions. This is a decision I made in my life. We've gone down and said, listen, we will take you. We have a program for you. You can get straight. Oh, get straight. But don't you love God? I love God. But I love God and I love beer. I love God and I love crack. I love God and... It's like, but you understand, God's got more for your life? Some people don't do that. See, the idea in the church is, when you have God, everything's great in your life. Your marriage is perfect. You drive a brand new car. Your job's great. That's the way it is, right? And if it's not, then obviously either God doesn't love you or you don't love him. But we know that not to be true, because we're real, aren't we? Crazy. The shepherds sought him. And they told everybody about him. I've had the drunkest, most babbling. I'm telling you, I've been down there giving these folks some food and have some guy, hey, man, let me tell you what God did in my life when I was 28. Man, let me tell you something what God did in my life, man. One time, I was out, and you got some drunk. He's going to start testifying to you about the goodness of God, and it breaks your heart. That he displays more joy and more hope in his life living under a bridge, begging any passerby for 50 cents until he can get 250 for a bottle of Ripple. Ripple, anybody watch Sanford and Son? Man, I was just... Ripple. You like Brass Monkey better? Yeah. Poor people. Homeless. They're still looking for him. Look at this, though. It goes like this. Continue on down to verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I love that line. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Some people, they're old, man, and they've lived too much. They've seen too much. I have to tell you the testimony about Nathan Gittleman. Nathan Gittleman lived most of his life in Poland. And then during the persecution of the Jews, Hitler annihilating a race of God's chosen people, his family fled and they went, would they go to Russia first, Ma? They went to Russia first and then eventually made their way to the United States. And that man, as a painter, his whole life, he would paint anything, anywhere, anytime. He didn't care if you wanted him to paint a mural or a car. This man once painted my car. I had a car. I had a 73 Monte Carlo, and it was white. And me and my friends did a big robbery, and we didn't want to get caught. So I drove up to where he lived, and he painted my car red with a brush. I'm not lying. And Grandpa kind of talked like, this will be fine. Little wax, you won't know the difference. That was my grandpa. My grandpa's favorite line, heaven's a myth. It's a myth, you hear me? Coming from Poland and Russia into East New York, where you were either Jewish or you were Italian. My grandfather was neither as far as religion concerned. He had no time for it. He was too busy, you see. 85 years old, he was still living in Tamarack and painting people's driveways. Ryan, roll out this driveway. He was one of those guys, he was old school. I mean, if you got a dot of that blacktop on the grass, he would kick your grass. He was horrible. And to hear my father talk about painting, you could only hear a man who truly had a hate for painting. My father, you ask him, Dad, how come you didn't paint like Grandpa painted? He said, he would look at you flat in the eye and he'd go, I hate painting. I hate paint. I hate the smell of paint. I hate the mushy rollers that they put on the end of those things. I hate paint brushes. I hate cleaning paint brushes. I even hate the little metal stick that goes from one side of the paint can to the other. There is nothing about painting I like. Then, as it happens to every man, age takes over. 93, 94, he was still sharp, man. He'd come over, what'd you pay for that fence, Ryan? Oh, Papa, we put that fence in ourselves. How much was the wood? How much was the paint? You gotta add these things up. So all he talked about was money. 98 years old. He took ill. 98 years old. I mean, where do I sign that contract, right? He passed his 99th birthday. And me and Austin were in Home Depot one day. And he calls me up on the phone. Ryan, I'm dying. Like, Gramps, you lived a long life. I mean, you did good. You did good, Gramps. You raised up a family. You took care of us all. When anybody was short, you took care of us all, Gramps. I don't want to die. I said, Gramps, you got to know Jesus. You got to know Jesus. I don't want to die. How do I know Jesus? I said, just say this prayer, Gramps. Say this prayer. Now, Austin was sitting next to me. How old were you at the time, bro? 16, 17? Yeah. And I had the little speakerphone, you know, thingy. I said, Graham, say this prayer with me. Dear God, dear God. And he said the whole salvation prayer. I said, now say in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. I said, Graham, you're going to be fine now. Don't worry about it. You sure? You're going to be fine, Graham. Love you. Talk to you later. Love you wasn't like on his, even at 99, he wasn't about loving. I hung up the phone and me and Austin looked at each other and he goes, I think I just led a 99-year-old to the Lord. 99! And my grandpa accepted Christ as his Savior. 99. Yeah, you can give God a hand for that. And now I know why the devil hates me. Because let me tell you something. The devil was looking for somebody to paint hell. And it was going to be Grandpa Nat. But now, he's painting heaven. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your reaction is. You got these myths. Just a few verses down in verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let me tell you about this lady. I love this. I love. Who did he come to first? Women. Mary. Elizabeth. Anna. So far, that's 3-1. It's been well said. The Lord Jesus has done more for women's liberation than anybody. There it is. Here's what this woman said. As a young woman, she got married, and she was with her husband 7 years, and her husband died. No kids. And you know what she said? I don't need a man. I got me a man. I got me a man. I don't need a man. I love the Lord. I don't need no man. I had a man. I'll see him again. I don't need another man. How do you not love this woman's heart? Okay, can I read that to you again? She was a woman of great age. And she had a husband for 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow 84 years. And you know what she made her life in 84 years? She made her life about the Lord. I just go to church. What do you do? I pray for people. What do you do at church? I clean up. I pray. I don't know what this woman did for 84 years, but she didn't leave the temple. But woman, go get married. Have a kid. I don't need no man. I got me a man. What a heart. What a heart, ladies. You don't need no man to take care of you. You got a man taking care of you. No man got nothing for you. Let me tell you, you want a prerequisite for the man that you can love? Man, you love Jesus first. He tells you I love you, tell him, you love Jesus, you don't need to love me. You ain't no good to me unless you love Jesus. That's what you need to tell him. Now, if you would, here's where we come a little bit closer to a close. Turn the book of Matthew. That's to the left, 30, 40 pages. I'm going to start Matthew 2, second chapter, book of Matthew. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, verse 1 of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Wise men are seeking him. Wise men seek him. If you're smart, you'll spend your life looking for God. Because you'll find him when you search for him with all your heart. You will find him. Verse 10. Same chapter. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh is a representation of everything that we are. They gave God everything. They had gifts and talents. They had money. But you know what they gave God? Everything. Everything. They reckoned their lives worthless apart from God. They figured if they're going to be a car salesman, they're a car salesman for God. They figured if they were going to be an insurance agent, they're an insurance agent for God. They figured if they were going to be a jiu-jitsu player, they're going to be a jiu-jitsu player for God. They figured everything that they can do, whether they're in the Air Force, the Navy, the Marine Corps, whatever they did, it was for God because they were wise men. Because they knew that whatever they have plus God makes it better. Whatever I am, add God to it, I'll be better at it. Verse 16, same chapter. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time when they had determined the wise men. Listen. Kings still hate him. Anybody that interferes with the worship of a king, kings hate him. What was Herod, who was a king of that region, what was his response? Kill that child. And isn't that like that? When you find out, when you're at work and they find out you're a Christian, they hate you and they want you dead. Literally, it's the craziest thing. The day and time that we live in, the age we live in is insane. You can't disagree with somebody politically, they want you dead. You can't disagree with somebody spiritually, they want you dead. It's crazy. It's still the same thing. This king wasn't about to share worship with nobody. These men came from these to worship. They no way somebody's getting away. What do you think happened, guys? They say that more people have died in the name of religion than anything else. Do you know that's just a lie? Do you know that? If they told you that in university or college or wherever, that's a lie. Do you know more people have died in the name of atheism than anything else? Do you know how many people died in Russia? Stalin killed some 60 million people because socialism has to work. And the only way for socialism, Stalinism, communism to work, less people. Can't feed everybody. So what do you do with them? Kill them. Mao Zedong. I mean, you go through the list of famous atheist rulers, leaders, dictators. They've killed hundreds of millions of people, not in the name of God, in the name of atheism. Even the Muslims, the misdirected sects of Muslims, can't compare to what atheism has killed. Close your Bible. So the only question left is the question I presented to you at the beginning. What are you going to do with the baby Jesus? What's your response? I've given you all the responses to those that Scripture talks about. Here's what they did when they encountered him. This one did this. They gave him their all. This one did this. They ran. This one did this. They did this. What is your response? You'd be like my grandfather. Open your heart and let him inside and let him do the work. You can do anything you want to do because the one thing God's not going to do is take from you your free will to do what you want to. Nothing is going to stop you from making this decision. And now I put this question to you that are here. What are you going to do with the baby Jesus? Because here's the sad thing, okay? Here's the sad thing. This Jesus is going to grow up as he did in Scripture. And in the end, he gets the victory. Oh, not yet. It tarries still. His victory still tarries. His victory still waits. It does. They can mock him now. They could hate him now. They could pull everything out of Target. They can do anything they want to do the world, for God has not yet gained his victory. But here's the truth according to Scripture. That's my granddaughter. She's allowed to cry. The first time he came as a baby, meek and mild and gentle, no judgment. The next time, the second coming, he comes as a conquering king. The Bible says with a rod of iron to break the back of the enemies, to put the nations under his authority, and all they that pierced him will mourn. The Bible says, that's my king. That's my king. So, you have all the information. The question only now is, what are you going to do with the baby Jesus? If anybody here would like to accept the baby, would accept the Lord Jesus in their heart, I will help you. I will lead you in a prayer just to give you the words. I can't give you the heart. I can't give you the sentiment. There's no magic cream here. Well, let's just rub you with this cream and you'll... The only cream that can be rubbed on your heart is that of the blood of the Lamb, who will only see his son when you are presented. When my grandfather at 99 years old died, I'm sure his head was down in shame. I'm sure he walked up to that gate and said, I've given all my strength to myself. I've worshipped money, I've worshipped myself, I've not been faithful to anything or anybody except myself. And I'm sure the Lord took his head, made him look up at him and said, I love you, son. I'm so glad you're here. Come on, have your rest now. Does anybody here want to accept Christ as their Savior? Does anybody here want to just say a prayer of salvation so that way there's no more doubt? There's no more question. There's no more, I'm not sure. If you would like to do that, stand up and let us rejoice with you, and I'll lead you in this prayer. Anybody want to do that? Christians, be praying right now. Good job, sister. Anybody else want to join Susie with just giving their heart to the Lord? Yes. It's amazing. The women know. Women know. Anybody else would like to stand up and give their lives to the Lord? Now, you might be in your heart right now saying, I want to stand up, but I already did. I already accepted Christ as your Savior. And if you can't remember when that was, I think if the Creator of the universe has taken up residency in your heart, you would remember that day. I think that'd be a day you want to remember. So be careful. That's not a lie of the enemy just stopping you from standing and accepting him as Savior. So if you would like to accept him, and it would be a most horrible and terrible thing if you accepted him twice, wouldn't it? No, it would not. It would be a rejoicing. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong, Tony. Absolutely. If you want to rededicate your life, if you just, something about today's message just touched your heart, absolutely, yes. That's what's up right now. Anybody else? You just say, you know what? There's nothing wrong with saying yes. Okay. Nothing wrong with it. We rejoice. We rejoice. Yeah, just so you guys know, I dedicate my life to the Lord every single day. I wake up and I go, sorry for the stupid things I said and did yesterday, even those dumb old dreams I had last night in my sleep. Anybody else want to join those that have stood up and rededicate or accept for the first time the Lord as Savior. Now, you don't have to be standing up to say this prayer. So you can say this prayer from a seated position. It's not a problem. But here's the only thing. He stood up for you. As a matter of fact, he was lifted off the ground with nails in his hands and his feet. So if he could be doing that, I think we can also stand up. All right, Jacob. Anybody else? What a great Christmas gift. All right, Scotty, way to go. You guys that are standing up, or if you're sitting down doing this, say this out loud with me. Say, Dear God, I offer you my life. Open my heart up. Take it. It's yours now and forever. Make something out of my life that only you can do. I believe in you, and I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ my Lord. Amen. 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 Congratulations to all you guys that said that prayer, and thank you. Have a great and merry, merry Christmas. Now, for you guys that did stand up for the first time, you're wondering, what do I do next? What should I do? Here's what you do. Nothing. Let God do the work. He who begun the work will complete it. You don't need classes. You don't need, listen, show back up to church. There you go. All right? Love you guys. God bless you.